The unsurpassed, penetrating and perfect truth is seldom met with, even in 100,000 myriad kalpas. Now we can see and hear it, we can remember and accept it. I vow to make the Buddha's truth one with myself. Homage to the Buddha, homage to the Dharma, homage to the Sangha. So today is the festival of Manjusri, Bodhisattva of Wisdom. And he's often depicted as sitting opposite to Samantabhadra, Bodhisattva of Active Love. And they kind of complement each other. And then there's the other Bodhisattva, Avalokiteshvara, Bodhisattva of Compassion. Compassion, love and wisdom. The three aspects we try to cultivate to help us work on our greed, anger and delusion. Compassion, love and wisdom really help us. So Manjusri is the Bodhisattva of wisdom. And we can feel a bit intimidated by the thought of wisdom. It's for somebody else. Somebody else might be wise. Other people have wisdom, but I don't really know anything about it. Wisdom, I don't know. Compassion, well, I can work on compassion. I know what it means. I'll try to practice it. Love, okay. Love for all beings, trying to help beings. Wisdom, I don't know. But actually, they all work together. You know, love, to practice active love, you have to have a certain amount of wisdom to make it work. Otherwise, you're rushing around not helping you think you are. Compassion, love, and wisdom work together. And wisdom isn't really beyond us. It's not something that we either have or we don't have. And of course, we don't have, other people have it, but I don't. It's not like that. It's something that we cultivate, something that we practice, something that we entrust ourselves to. It's something we allow to come forth. Only can just step out of the way, sit quietly, and allow wisdom to arise, rather than just rushing off to do something. Manjusri shows us the way to practice wisdom. As you see, here he is, you know, that beautiful statue in the front. That's the Tibetan form, generally. He's got this sword of wisdom and he's really flourishing it. He's getting ready to cut through anything that gets in the way. And the Manjusri sitting on his beast is our sort of Zen tradition. Sitting on the beast of self. The beast tends to look a little funny. It doesn't look like any animal that we really recognize in most of the depictions. Sometimes it looks like a lion. This one, he looks more like a kind of a horse with fangs. But he's a generic beast because he's our self. He holds a sword in his right hand. I hope he isn't there. Oh, well. Usually he's holding a sword in his right hand, his sword of wisdom that cuts through delusion, defilements, difficulties. And he has a lotus in his left hand, which symbolizes training. And often there's a scripture on top of his lotus representing the wisdom scriptures. And they all point us towards wisdom. The sword, sword of wisdom, insight, prajna, deep wisdom of the heart, cutting through the fetters of greed, hate and delusion. To cut through something, you've got to look at it. You can't just slice blindly or you have horrible trouble. You have to look at it and see through it. But like when you're chopping wood, it doesn't work just to look at the top of the wood. You have to look at the bottom, where you're going with it. See through it. And so, and knowing that you can cut right through, whomp. It doesn't hurt. It doesn't help to just think, well, I'll just have a go at it. Do a little tap here and there. Miss the wood altogether like me. You have to look with an eye of kind of concentration. Okay, that's where we're going. Womp. And know that you can cut through. Then you have a good chance of doing it. Confidence. Confidence in being able to slice through our fetters, as it were. To cut through our greed and anger and delusion. Knowing that we can do it with energy and vigor. and confidence, I can do this. With firmness and conviction, I can do something about this. It's not just I'm helpless with my, I'm just a greedy person, I'm helpless. You know, that doesn't work very well. But to say, ah, oh, there's greed. That's me just clinging onto something or wanting something. Womp, just let it go. I can do it. I can let it go. It's not a fierce, well, it can be fierce. It's not an unkind thing. That's why he stands opposite Samantabhadra, personification of love, because you're not just practicing wisdom in a kind of cold vacuum. There's kindness, there's compassion for our mistakes, compassion for our selfishness, love for our own defilements, is it not a clinging to them, but just a kindness towards our own weaknesses. Then we can be kind to the weaknesses of other beings. It's not just a cold, you know, rushing around with a sword, cutting things off. It's wisdom. This is where I need to do some work. This is where I need to let something go. Oops. Mostly a matter of letting go of something rather than doing something is the practice of wisdom. That's why Manjusri sits still on his beast. He's the bodhisattva of meditation as well as wisdom. Wisdom and meditation go together. If you're not meditating, if you're not sitting still, it's very hard to act with wisdom. You're just pulled around by self. And wisdom shows the way to stillness. When we sit, we try to do it with wise discernment, right effort, applying the effort in the right way. And that's something it takes a while to cultivate, but we do cultivate it. We all have faults, make mistakes, have our difficulties, our greed, anger, and delusion. To see them with kindness, that is why we have to have compassion and love and wisdom. Compassion to see where we make mistakes. Compassion for the mistakes of others. Compassion that helps us to actually see clearly. Because if we can't have compassion, we can't really see. We can't see, why do I do this? Or what is it that I keep doing? Why do I keep running into the same problem? That's compassion, to see where we make mistakes, to see our habitual tendencies, so that we can change. We can cut through them, but with kindness, always with kindness, not just fierceness. We're just human beings. We're not perfect. We're trying to be perfect. We're kind of being a self. The book Manjusri holds, his scripture, the Prajna Paramita scriptures, scripture of great wisdom, diamond scripture, those deep wisdom scriptures that they're kind of seen as a whole, and they point us to the deepest, when one with deepest wisdom of the heart, that is beyond discriminatory thought. This is what we try to cultivate in our training, as we sit still, to cultivate that deepest wisdom. It's not something you can figure out, it's not something you can usefully think about in a way, but to point ourselves towards that by sitting still in faith, trusting that that deep wisdom will arise when we need it. It's not ours. I have my wisdom and I'm okay. It's something that comes through us. We can be wise at one minute and be a complete idiot the next. It seems to be, you can't hold on to it. You just allow it to keep arising and to keep turning towards wisdom rather than foolishness. Manjusri's beast, the self. Manjusri is sitting still on his beast of self. He's not separate from the beast. He doesn't kill the beast. He treats the beast with kindness. This is the self, but he keeps his eye on that self, on that beast, so the beast won't run off with him and he'll do something really dumb. Sitting still, awake, with kindness, seeing that self, seeing its little tail twitch, or its little eye gets fixed on something, be careful, you know, sitting still with wisdom. Most of our training is completely mundane. Most of our practice of wisdom is just simply not doing the dumb things. And by not doing the dumb things, we learn a little bit of wisdom. Keeping to the precepts, you know, as part of the Dharma that he holds out to us. Keeping the precepts. To keep to the precepts is to practice wisdom. When we keep to the precepts, you know, is as darkness meeting light, as a poor person receiving a treasure. It's a wonderful thing to have the precepts. We were, you know, had our precepts week, last week, or the week before. And so we're all kind of thinking more about the precepts. A wonderful help in working on our selfishness, in taming that beast. Is this a good thing to do? Am I ceasing from evil? Am I making a mistake here? Am I just being greedy for something? Am I getting angry? You know? Ah, oh, come back, sit still. Wonderful help. Great Master Dogen in the Genjo Koan says, when one studies Buddhism, one studies oneself. When one studies oneself, one forgets oneself. When one forgets oneself, one is enlightened by everything. And this very enlightenment breaks the bonds of clinging to both body and mind, not only for oneself, but for all beings as well. Our training helps all beings, not just ourselves. To study oneself, this doesn't mean obsessing about oneself, you know, thinking only about me and my mind and what I'm doing, oh, I have to, you know. It means seeing where the self arises, keeping an eye out for it, seeing where the self arises, recognizing our self-partiality, as Great Master Bankei calls it. I love that. Self-partiality. It covers a multitude of stuff. We are partial to ourselves, to our own way of looking at things, our views, our desires, what I want. We're partial to that. This is where we come from. Self-partiality. Me and my interests. And to see ourselves do that, to see that most of our views are simply self-partiality. It's immensely helpful. Most of our desires, most of our motivations, there's a lot of that bare beast at the bottom of it. To see that helps us to relinquish getting pulled off, dragged off by that beast. And Yuthri, as I said, is very alert, sitting still on his beast. And the beast is very alert too, just any minute now, you know. We all know what it's like, and we think we're doing fine. And suddenly, we succumb to a moment of bad temper or greedy for something, you know, that we really shouldn't be greedy for. Or some kind of, you know, the little self jumps up, bites us on the nose when we're not looking. And we think, oh God, I've done it again. Happens over and over to most of us, just in little ways, sometimes in big ways. But in the little ways, we can learn how to sit still when the big things come along and we really want to do something that maybe we shouldn't do, or we're really getting upset and I just need to sit still. And if you can recognize this is just the self, when I'm all upset about something or think someone's been unfair, or this shouldn't be done this way, or I know how it should be done and nobody else knows. Ah, self-partiality. Me and my views, me and my desires, me and my wanting something my way. Just the beast of self. It kind of shrinks it down a bit, and the beast isn't quite so huge. It's a smaller beast, a tamer beast. And we don't have to be dragged off by him. It's so easy to succumb to an angry response or just a, you know, greedy impulse or whatever. But when we do, ah, look what I did. Come back with kindness. Sorry. Keep going. Keep trying. Never to give up. These ones are easy to see, I think, when you have a greedy moment or an angry moment. But the more subtle forms of the beast, our kind of clinging to a persona, as it were. You know, the way we label ourselves. I'm a clumsy person. I'll always be a clumsy person. So we clank about, I know this well for myself. If I can just let go of saying I'm a clumsy person, I can actually be less clumsy. Or I'm a generous person because I give things to people, you know. So I'm a generous person. And because I'm a generous person, I keep giving things to people, which is fine. It's better to say I'm a generous person than I'm an angry, mean person and I don't care, you know. But to think of oneself as any kind of label is actually a kind of bondage. Even trying to be a selfless person, we're still a self trying to be selfless. But, you know, and it's hard to see that sometimes. Oh, I'm so selfless, I will not have anything for myself. No, no, it's all for others. You know, you drive people crazy that way. Any kind of way we think of, this is what I am, then we're kind of stuck with having to live up to that. To aspire to the training, to aspire to stillness, to aspire not to act from selfishness is not quite the same thing as I am a selfless person or I am a kind person. It's actually sitting still and doing what needs to be done without thinking it's a me doing it, you know. This is why Dogen says, to study the self is to forget the self. We're not being a kind self, a nice self, a happy self, a helpful self, a selfless self. We're just, we forget all about being this kind of person or that kind of person. We just try to do what's best now. What's good to do here? Is it good to do anything here? Maybe I don't need to do anything, just sit still and not react to something. Or just to see, is there something that needs to be done? And like maybe I can just do it. Without being a me doing it, me doing something, or me with my wisdom doing something wise, you know, just simply doing what needs to be done to forget the self. To study the self is to forget the self. Doesn't mean we forget about that beast, but just not to be trying to be a me doing things all the time. And to forget oneself is to be enlightened by everything. We're not so concerned with ourselves being kind or wise or whatever. We can see more clearly. When we forget ourself, to be enlightened by everything. Everything can help us. Everything can teach us. We can learn from all kinds of beings, all kinds of situations. Never to think, oh, that person can't teach me anything. It's amazing what we can learn from other beings, animals, things, you know, the patience. Reverend Master would talk about the road that's out there, letting, you know, the dogs pee on it and everybody walk on it and, you know, all this, the sun bakes it and the rain falls on it and the snow comes and it freezes and the road just sits there, letting people walk upon it, doing its job. And you could see that in this seemingly ordinary, mundane, you know, unfeeling object. How do we know if things feel or not? Just a simple, mundane thing doing its job. We can learn from that. We can learn wisdom and kindness from all kinds of things, all kinds of situations. To forget oneself is to be enlightened by everything. All these things help us. And this very enlightenment, as Dogen says, breaks the bonds of clinging to both body and mind, not only for oneself, but for all beings as well. This very enlightenment, we don't think, oh, I'm enlightened, or I'm not enlightened. We don't worry about it. We just try to do our best. Enlightened action leaves no wake. When we just simply do our best, do what needs to be done, we don't even notice. Other people don't even notice. It's when we don't do that, it's when we have a self in there, I'm going to be kind and wise now, you know. That's when we mess up, because we're adding something extra. But simply to do what needs to be done as best we can, without being a me, you know, a me being kind and wise, we don't even notice it. And other people may not notice it, which is fine. Enlightened action, or action based on wisdom, which is what it is. It's not some special thing. just doing what needs to be done. And this is what we do most of the time, actually. We don't even notice. We just get up, you know, feed our family, go to work, live our life, do the best we can, bite back the angry retort when it arises, restrain our greed, keep to the precepts, sit still as best we can. We don't attach some special importance to any of this. Just doing what needs to be done. Not attaching a whole self to it. Just doing our best. And that's our training. Very mundane and very ordinary seeming. And yet, when you look, when I look back, before I ever started to train, it was a disaster. You know, it was a disaster. Even when I tried to be wise and kind, I'd mess it up all the time because I didn't know how to see the self-partiality in there, to see where I was trying to be wise or trying to be a Buddhist. I was, oh God. When I first started to practice Buddhism, I was a total pain to everybody I knew. I'd be telling them about it. I knew nothing about it, really. And And then finally, I began to learn a little bit more about it, and I stopped doing that. And I think it was a great relief to everybody. Because I wasn't being a me trying to help the world, you know. I just stop and just try to help myself a little bit and learn to meditate and learn to sit still and learn what was actually helpful rather than, you know, what would be wise and kind. So a lot of our training actually is confidence and faith. Confidence is faith. Confidence that we can do the training, that we can cut through that block of wood. We can, and that we do. Confidence that we can sit still in the midst of all conditions, and that we do, even when it doesn't seem like it. That there is the heart that seeks the way, working a way, despite our best efforts. Confidence in our ability to do what needs to be done, in our ability to practice wisdom, to act from wisdom and kindness. Confidence in that, not thinking, oh, I have no wisdom, I'm clueless, is a little bit better than saying I'm the best thing in the, you know, that ever happened to anybody. But it's still an impediment to think we can't do it, to think we can't train, to think we're useless. Everybody else has wisdom except me. Everybody else has Buddha nature, but they missed me out, you know. I think many of us have this thought arise now and then. To just see that, that's just part of that beast of self, really. It's just that old beast getting in our way, saying, you can't really do this, you know. Just do a little bit of, you know, a little mediocre effort. It looks like you're doing okay, but actually, you know, no, we can do this. We can train wholeheartedly and with vigor and clarity. We just have to believe that we can and that we do and that we are already doing it. Confidence in our training, our ability to practice wisdom when it's needed. As I said, we're not going around trying to be a wise or kind person. Just try to act with kindness and wisdom when needed. Not even thinking, oh, I'm going to be wise and kind, but just what's good to do here? What's good to do here? What won't hurt anybody? What will help beings? What's best? To sit still, sitting still on our beast of self, keeping an eye on him. What's best to do here? Manjusri sits upon his beast. The beast carries him. He's not an impediment. He actually helps us. Our beast of self, our beast of suffering, of desire, of self-partiality, however we choose to look at it, that beast has brought us here because we know we need to do something. That self-partiality, emphasis on our own view, our own self-interest and all that, it doesn't make us happy. So that self actually helps us because we see, I need to do something differently. to learn to sit still with wisdom, to trust that we can do that. Manjusri is not separate from his beast. He hasn't got the beast out there in the pasture somewhere. He's sitting on his beast. He's right here because the beast needs to be kept an eye on. But he treats him with kindness. In nearly all the representations of Manjusri sitting on his beast, the beast is looking up at Manjusri with affection, actually. He's not cowering down like this waiting to be beaten, you know. Look at him. You see, he looks really quite a cheerful beast. And yet his eyes are open, ready to run off any minute. But there's Manjusri, sitting still. Okay, I see you, beast. It's okay. Here we are. The two are one. All troubles ceased, as Master Daisvi put it. Converting our greed, anger, and delusion into compassion, love, and wisdom. Watching the mind, seeing the angry impulse or the selfish impulse or the self-limiting view arise. Oh, I can't do that. Oh, I'm not that kind of person. Oh, I don't have any wisdom or whatever. We just have to act with wisdom sometimes. And sometimes, and we do it when it's needed. There we are, and we just do it. When we know what we need to do, we have the strength and the wisdom to do it. We just have to trust that. We do that. Confidence. We can cut through our greed, anger, and delusion. We can sit still in the midst of all conditions, both internal and external. Sit still within the chaos of our lives, which it sometimes is. Sitting still within the real desire to go off and do something we know we shouldn't do. Sitting still with our own crazed mind, you know. Even within all our difficulties, our suffering, our distraction, our karmic habits that we seem to keep falling into over and over again, to sit still amidst all of these, to trust that wisdom can and does arise, that we can cut through them, we can sit still in the midst of them. We do not kill the self with our sword of wisdom. We cut through our defilements, through our difficulties. And the self helps us. When we see these things arise, they can actually help us. Ah, there's anger again. Okay, I get to sit still with it again. Ah, there's fear. Okay, sit still with it. Just let it come and go. It's such a helpful thing to see these things arise, to sit still in the midst of them, and not completely believe in them. We see through that lump of wood. We see through that impediment, seeming impediment, slice to the bottom. And really, we do that by sitting still, not actually by doing anything, but sitting still and seeing its empty nature. When you sit still with fear, it dissolves. When you sit still with anger, it dissolves. They may get stronger for a minute, but then they dissolve because they're not really based on anything. And as we sit still, we learn more and more the emptiness of these seeming things. We don't have to wait for some perfect state to descend upon us before we can really practice wisdom. We'd be waiting for a long time, some of us would. We can practice it now, here and now. We just need to trust in our own ability, have confidence in our own wisdom, our own Buddha nature that guides us. Confidence in that. Confidence in Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. Confidence in others who train when you need help and advice. The practice of faith is the practice of wisdom. When we don't know, it's okay to sit still and do our best, and trust that that will take us where we need to go. Faith in our ability, faith in the training, faith in our own aspiration for the way that we are on the way, wholeheartedly, trotting along on our beast. Faith in the deepest wisdom of the heart, which is not separate from our wise discernment of I've been mostly talking about of is it good to do this? Maybe not, you know. But the deepest wisdom of the heart, that which those scriptures point to, whether we understand it or not, or we think we understand it or not, to turn towards that, faith in that deepest wisdom, knowing that we never see the whole picture. There will always be more. We always have our little view. We can expand it and see more deeply. Sometimes we have a bigger view. But never to think we see the whole thing. It's always much bigger than we think. They're always just going on, going on. Always going on, always becoming Buddha. Just doing our best. And that's our talk from Manjushri. Well, for today. Thank you.